May I bid you all once again welcome in the Saviour's name this evening to the Lord's house, to worship the Lord and to grow in the knowledge of Christ, who lives and dies and reigneth forever for his own people. I have a few announcements to begin with. There is a new bulletin for June available at the back. There'll be a new one out for July, all being well. The reminder that the adult Bible class, well, the last one for this season was this morning, so there'll be no Bible class, adult Bible class at 10 a.m. on the Lord's Day morning for the months of July and August. Lord willing, it will recommence in September. To remind those who are visiting us, or to inform those who are visiting us, and to remind those of us who know all these things already, we have our morning services at 11 a.m. on the Sunday, and 6 p.m. in the evening. There is the midweek Bible study, which is on a Tuesday evening at 7 p.m., followed by the time of prayer. Remind you of the Let the Bible Speak radio ministry, which is on High River, a.m. 11:40. So that's Sundays at 10 a.m., and then the same service, or the same broadcast repeated, program repeated at 10 p.m. in the evening. Monday to Friday at 4:30, by our brother, the Reverend Gollagher, and then on Saturdays at 5:30 p.m. And so some announcements, owing to the situation with COVID-19. You are requested, or I'm requested to request you, to use the self-screening tool before you come to church. And if you have any symptoms, then you are asked to self-isolate and to let us know. With regards to singing, Alberta states that our congregational singing is a high-risk activity and is discouraged. So the session, on the basis of that information, took the decision not to have congregational singing. But that is to be reviewed. I spoke to Mr. Goller a couple of weeks ago, asking about the situation and how we could possibly move forward. So that is to be brought to the session meeting this Friday evening. So I covered your prayers for that, that the Lord will grant wisdom. The numbers have not been increasing greatly, which is good news. And other churches, well, the ones that are open anyway, some of them are stepping out into singing. So we shall see what the Lord, how the Lord directs. So please pray for that. And I've already mentioned it, there is a session meeting this Friday. Session meeting and board meeting, so the session of the elders who have the spiritual oversight and the board of deacons who have the financial and practical oversight this Friday evening, the Lord willing. There is cleaning schedule, a new cleaning schedule on the notice board, so those who are willing and able, and even if you're unwilling but even able, please do put your name down. If everyone does it once a year, then I think that's well shared out, or twice a year. Next Lord's Day morning is in the Lord's will, and if we can figure it out on Friday how we will actually hold the Lord's table, so the commemoration of the Lord's death and sacrifice for his people, and we, as we gather around his table. So the plan is that we will gather around and commemorate the Lord's sacrifice at the Lord's table next Sunday morning. In the evening, our brother Andrew Fitton is to be the preacher, and I will lead the service, and our brother will preach. It's good to see our brother in this evening. So that'll be next week evening service, and our preacher Andrew Fitton. We thank you once again for all your generous donations given to the Lord's work, both here and on the mission field in various places. We give thanks to God for his sustaining hand in these difficult times, and we give you thanks in the Lord's name for your faithful and generous giving to the Lord's work. I think that's all the announcements that need to be given. Let us still our hearts and let us pray to the Lord, please. Our God, we give thee thanks and praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. O God, that we can call upon thy name. Thou hast the name above all names. O Lord, thou art the greatest of all, Lord, thou are not a creature, but thou art the creator of all things in heaven and earth. And thou thyself, O God, art the creator of time, for thou art eternal. Eternal and infinite art thou, O God, in thy being, but also in thy goodness and in thy holiness and in thy mercy. And it is to the merciful God of heaven and earth that we have come this evening and in prayer. We pray, O Lord, for thee to have mercy upon us as we gather in the name of Christ. Will thou forgive us all our many sins? And we thank thee, Lord, that when we confess our sins, that thou art faithful and just because of Jesus Christ, to forgive thy people all their sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all unbelief, all sin. But Lord, thou knowest that it is our prayer that those who are outside of Christ and have no share in the forgiveness through Christ, who are still under thy holy and righteous wrath, have not cast off their sin and turned to Jesus, we pray for their souls. Whether they're present with us this evening, whether they're listening in or watching online, whether they're our own family members and friends and neighbours that we've been praying for a long time, we call upon thee, O God, who art merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. And we pray thee, O God, for Christ's sake, have mercy upon all their souls and save them, O God. We know in our own experience, those who are born again, that God has entered in, and with that powerful word of live, O God, we were turned from darkness to light, from death to life. We give thee thanks, O God, and what thou hast done in us, thou canst do in others and bring great glory to thy holy name. Lord, wilt thou hear our prayer and have mercy? We do pray thee. Lord, bless our time together this evening. We thank thee that we are in the presence of the Saviour himself. We rejoice, O Lord, for the power and the authority of Christ's word. Oh, but Lord, we rejoice also in the truth of his word. Where two or three are gathered in his blessed and precious name, he is also in our midst. Lord Jesus, wilt thou help us to worship thee? Wilt thou help us to listen to thy word? O God, wilt thou give thy spirit that thy word will enter in and do us good? O God, that we do not just sit and let the word go over our ears, but may it enter into our ears. May it enter into our minds and into our hearts. O Lord, that we may become even tonight that little bit more like Jesus Christ. O God, and bring glory to thy name, even through us. O Lord, remember those of this congregation, O Lord, who are mourning at this time. Remember our sister Heather. Remember others also who have lost loved ones in the recent time. Remember Myrna and Bob. We do pray for the comfort of the God of all comforts to come nigh unto them. We pray for our elderly ones, Lord, many of whom are self-isolating. O Lord, comfort them and strengthen them. Strengthen them in their minds and their bodies and in their souls. We pray, O God, for the work of thy gospel here in this church and in Pine Ridge and in Calgary and further afield, that it may please thee, O Lord, to bless the going forth of thy word, even on the Let the Bible Speak radio ministry, even on the online church ministry via YouTube and sermon audio and elsewhere, even the use of other social media, O God, that thy word will go forth. Lord, that our names may fall to the earth as unknown and uncared for, but the name of Christ may be exalted, that he will draw all sorts of men to himself to salvation. We pray, O God, for a fresh glimpse of Christ this evening. Pray, O Lord, to give us ears to hear and give me the mouth of God to speak the word of Christ and bring glory to thy precious name. Hear us, we pray, in Jesus' name only and for his everlasting glory. Amen. May I ask our sister to come and to play the music to hymn 388, please. Hymn 388. and it is the hymn entitled, I Will Praise Him. I'll read the first two verses for you. You'll be glad to know. Hymn 388, when I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sin, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when he said, wilt thou be clean? I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Since the way is straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes lay. I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all ye people, for his blood can wash away each stain. Amen. Thank you very much, sister. Would you please open your copies of the Scriptures of Truth this evening to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible, first book of Moses. Genesis chapter 1. No, sorry. Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, and we'll read the last few verses of chapter 5 from verse 28. And then after that, we'll read a portion from chapter 6. So chapter 5, Genesis chapter 5, reading from verse 28. And I'll do what we've been doing in the recent time of alternating the verses. I'll read one verse, and then we'll all together we'll read the next verse, and so on and so forth. Genesis chapter 5, verse 28. Hear with faith and fear the precious word of God. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And we'll move now to verse 5 of chapter 6. Verse 5 of chapter 6, reading up to verse 14. Verse 5 of chapter 6. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. And I'll just read the last verse of that chapter. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Amen. And we look to the Lord to bless the reading of his holy and infallible word to our every heart. The true food for the soul is the word of Christ. Let us briefly pray together, looking to the Lord for help and blessing this evening. Let's pray. Lord, we thank thee that we have had thy word upon our lips and in our ears. We've heard the word of the living God, a word that is a pure word. It is purer than silver that has been refined 7 times. It is a word, O God, which Jesus has declared is a sanctifying word. O Lord, it sanctifies us, it separates us from the world, and it draws us closer to a holy God through Jesus. We thank thee that the God of heaven and earth has spoken into our little ears. We pray, O Lord, that thou wilt be pleased to bless thy word and to help us to understand and to believe and to apply in our own lives. Lord, give unto me all that is needed, and there is much needed, O God, to stand here or stand out the way, to move out of the way and let the word of Christ go forth without interference and without my failings. Lord Jesus, give blessing to thy word. Save souls and build up thy church. Oh, and bring much glory to thy precious name, we pray. In thine holy name, Lord. Amen. Would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, please? Hebrews chapter 11. So all that we've just read from Genesis is context. But it is really where we're still examining faith. Through understanding the teaching of Christ through Hebrews chapter 11. And we come to verse 7. Verse 7 of chapter 11 of Paul's letter to the Hebrews says this: "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith." Amen. We've seen recently, in the last few weeks, as we've been looking at Hebrews 11, in verse 4, we saw that Abel, that by faith Abel worshipped. And we saw in verses 5 and 6 that by faith Enoch walked. And we see now in verse 7 of Hebrews 11 that by faith Noah prepared. Noah prepared. It's tempting to say Noah warned, but he was warned. But he did warn. We'll look at that later. And so Noah then, after Abel and after Enoch, is the third person mentioned in Scripture unto whom is said, or about whom is said, that this person was righteous, that he was righteous. The third person in Scripture. And it would appear then to be the reason why the apostle brings him as the third example of the power and the effect of faith that takes place in a redeemed sinner's life. And all the three examples that we've given, or have been given to us by Hebrews 11, so Abel, Enoch, and now Noah, they are also great milestones in the history of mankind. Great turning points happen there. We have, in Abel's case, we have the first murder that took place, the first actual murder of human against human. We also have, in Enoch's place, his case, we have the first rapture, the first man of the very, very few in the Scriptures, who was taken straight up into heaven. And then thirdly, we have the first worldwide calamity in the worldwide flood of Noah. But more so, each of these examples, those three examples of Abel, of Enoch, and now Noah, they point to the gospel. And they point clearly to the Christ of the gospel. Because in Abel, we see the need of blood. We see the need of blood to bring peace between the sinner and God. And both in Abel's blood sacrifice that he brought, but also in the great comparison there is between his spilt blood, which cried out from the ground for revenge and justice, and comparison, therefore, with the blood of Jesus Christ, which speaketh better things than that of Abel's. Because it speaks of reconciliation. It speaks of gospel promise and hope. And in Enoch himself, we see how faith and the holy walk that it created in his life, and in all born-again believers, are to be deeply pleasing to God. That holy walk, that faith that precedes that holy walk, to please God, to love God, to be... Well, in that case, Enoch was very much an example of Christ before his time, because there was none that was more well-beloved and well-pleasing to God himself than his own son. What does God the Father constantly declare about his Son in the New Testament when we hear him speak, whether it's at the time of the transfiguration on the mount or at the time of his baptism? He's always saying that this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, well beloved and well pleased. And in that way, Enoch was a type, a foreshadow of who Jesus is. But also this, he points to the work that Christ will do in the life of every believer, because every truly born-again believer one day will be resurrected by Christ and will be taken up straight into glory to be with the Lord, never tasting of the second death, because Christ has tasted it and drunk the beaker of God's wrath empty. Now, the faith that Noah possessed, we're looking at this evening, was given to him by God's grace, because it's faith. We're not looking at the works of Noah that bribed God, although there are works that come forth from a faith in God. But the faith that Noah possessed, it enabled him to do what? Well, it enabled him to believe God's warnings and to carry out the duties and the commands that God required of him in spite of all the difficulties and the opposition that he suffered, although he would have to face over many years. And so with the Lord's help this evening, let us see this, that by faith Noah prepared. By faith Noah prepared. So we see in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, it says, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, and then etc. We see firstly the revelation unto faith. The revelation unto faith. And as we see the fact that by faith he was warned of God of things not seen as yet, we see that he, by faith, he accepted what God said. He accepted. Noah believed the word of God that came to him. He received a special revelation of the worldwide judgment of God upon all of mankind. And he believed the warnings. And he believed the promises about things not yet seen. Why did Noah receive and believe this word? Well, because he was already a saved man. He was saved by God's grace and he believed the word of God. And that's why he's described in Genesis 6 and verses 8 to 9, as we read this evening. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. He's described as a just man or a righteous man. It's the same word. And he was perfect. He was complete. He was a well-rounded believer. The same words are used about Job. That Job was perfect and eschewed evil. And it's the same description we have here, that Noah, he walked with God and he was perfect in his generations. Now, when the scriptures, remember this, when the scriptures speak of a man or a woman being just or righteous, it's not because of anything they've done. It's not saying that they're righteous because they've never sinned. It's not saying that they are just in the eyes of God because they've given enough money to the church. It's only ever through faith. The examples that we have in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament continue to declare this very truth, that man is only ever just before God through faith. Abraham. What about Noah then, as we're looking at this evening? He was born a sinner. He was a sinner before a holy God, and therefore the wrath of God was upon him. So how did this sinner become just? By faith. By faith. By believing the word of God, by believing the promise of God, and turning from all his sins. And Genesis 6, verse 13, you might want to turn back to it with me. Genesis 6 and verse 13 says this, and God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. For the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. And we see here this revelation that was given to Noah from God. It has two parts to it. It has, firstly, there's a declaration to it. For God declares that it is his divine purpose to flood the earth completely with water. There's no local flood here. This is a worldwide flood. Why? He says, the end of all flesh is come before me. And all flesh will be drowned, will be washed away. The earth will be washed of violence and of wickedness and sin. The Lord will wash it all away. So we have that declaration unto the destruction of all living creatures. But we see also a direction, that God directs Noah to build an ark unto the deliverance of those who would believe. A declaration and a direction. And so God warned Noah, as we read in our own passage there in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. And so as we understand, and we'll look a little bit at the timing very shortly, but the Lord warned Noah, and he directed him, and he declared these things to Noah many, many years before they would happen. So many years before the ark itself was completed, many years before the flood itself would come. many years before there was even rain. For if you understand the scriptures correctly, it would appear that up until that point when the rains first fell, that the Lord watered the ground by the mist of the earth, if we understand Genesis 2 and verse 5 correctly. Whichever may be the case. But it was many years, many, many years before the flood itself. But Noah believed the word of God. He said, God, thou art right. Even though it wasn't within his own limited experience. Who had seen a worldwide flood? Who here has seen a worldwide flood? We have not seen it. And we know that the Lord will not destroy mankind, and he will not destroy the earth again with water, but he will with fire. And if he did it then, and we see evidence of it all over the world, layers of sedimentary rock and fossilized animals, coal and oil, all throughout the world, all evidence of great destruction and plants and animals all being buried and in a very quick time. And we see the layers and layers as mud is washed over mud, as it washed over mud, is washed over trees and all this. But we're not going to get into the science of creationism just at the very moment. But if that's all true, and it is true, we just dig down and we see the truth of it. Here is then the promise of God that he will come again and that the wrath of the Lamb will be poured out upon the earth, but this time with fire, to destroy all those who are ungodly. And that brings us back to the prophecy of Enoch that we saw last week, what we read last week. And so the Lord is going to return, and we must admit as we look around the world today and we see more of it, because everything is so global, we read of it in the newspapers and we see it on the television, we see it on the internet, we see things happening in Pakistan, we see things happening in the United States and wherever it might be, we see so much of how much of a global situation we're in. It's always been a global situation, but we see the violence, we see the godlessness, we see the hatred on earth, in earth. But the God says this, the Lord says, that he will come. And as he did in the time of Noah, there will be a time when the Lord will return. But this time he will cleanse by fire. And so we should be as Noah. Where Noah believed the warning about the flood, we should believe the warning about the fire. But would that God would grant us the grace and the faith that he gave to Noah, to believe the word, to walk by faith in God's word of promise instead of by unbelief in sight, which is so easy to do. We see things, we judge things by the eyes, and we think it must be so and so, but the word of God says something different. But Noah's acceptance of God's word had an effect upon him. So he not only accepted the word of God, but he was affected by the word of God. It says here that he was moved with fear. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear. You see, this didn't just come to him as a piece of information, as a piece of an interesting nugget of data. This was something that entered in. It moved him. It moved him deeply. Noah feared God. He had a reverential fear for God. And that fear of God, I would suggest here, increased. This holy fear. And there is a holy fear and a good and a righteous fear of God. Proverbs 1 and verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Sorry, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. There's a healthy fear, a holy fear, a loving fear. Proverbs 9 and verse 10 extends upon this doctrine. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. So, as we understand this and we see it, Noah feared the Lord's righteous threat to destroy mankind. He believed it, and therefore, because he believed it, he feared the coming wrath of God upon the earth. He also feared the righteous power of God to be seen in this huge deluge. And he feared for himself and he feared for his family. And how do I know this? Well, because of his response to God's declaration, gospel declaration, and God's direction to build that ark, which is our next point. So we've seen the revelation unto faith, but we see Noah's reaction of faith. Noah's reaction of faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse 7, it says, and I'll repeat the verse a number of times, "By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world." The first reaction of faith that we read of here is this, that he prepared. He prepared. Besides being moved with fear because he believed the word of God, he was moved to action. He was moved to action by following God's direction to build that ark. And as we missed out that little piece of God's complete direction of how to build that ark, but God is very clear in how the ark was to be built. The ark was to be so long and so broad and so high. It was to have so many levels in it. It had so many doors and so many windows. It was to be covered with pitch on the inside and on the outside. It was to be a watertight ark. And he was to build that. And how many years did it take? Well, we don't know for sure, but we do know this, that when Noah was 500 years old, he became a father. And he had three sons. And we do know that he was 600 years old when the flood came. So somewhere between that time. But the verse that we read, did we read it? No, we didn't read it. But verse 18 of chapter 6 of Genesis says this. Chapter 6 and verse 18 of Genesis, "But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee." So we see there that when the Lord came with that warning and with that promise that he had boys who were married to be saved, he and his wife and the boys and the wives of the boys would be saved. So maybe somewhere between 50 and 75 years before the flood, the Lord came and commanded him to build that ark. Notice he doesn't build a boat. He builds an ark. He builds, as it were, a wooden chest, very large wooden chest. And added to the fact that this was probably built not on the coast. Here is no mention of a sea or a coast where he would build this thing. Somewhere inland, he's to build this large wooden box pitched on the inside and the outside. And he must do it because there's a flood a-coming. There's rain a-coming. What's rain? If there was not yet any rain. But you see how he was moved by fear, by the fear of God, by the fear of the coming judgment of God, to obey God. And God witnesses of Noah's faithful obedience, because he says, and we read it at the last verse of Genesis 6, he says, "Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he." Again, see that emphasis there in the text. What God said, Noah did. And the faith that Noah had, that is the trust that he had in the word of God, trusting God himself and therefore trusting every word that dropped from the lips of God, he trusted, he obeyed. It enabled him to perform the great difficulties that he had, the many years that he had to build this large ark. If you consider it, and we'll look a little bit more about it shortly, but the quiet obedience and the humbling long-suffering that we see in Noah are two precious fruits of the Spirit to be seen in him. Humbled himself before God, and he had those many, many years of self-sacrifice. And so the Lord is even sanctifying Noah. We think Noah is a great hero of the faith, but he was still only a sinner redeemed by grace. And he needed to be worked upon, and this is one of the ways that the Lord was working upon him, to teach him to be humble and obedient and self-sacrificial, to unlearn self-will and independence and learn to follow God's will and be fully dependent upon him. Something we all need to have the Lord work on in our own lives. He prepared, but also he preached. He preached. If you were to read with me 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. 2 Peter 2 and verse 5 says this. "And spared not the old world." I'll just wait for you to get there. 2 Peter 2 and verse 5. if you want to turn to it. And spared not the old world, so the world before the flood, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. I mean, it would appear then that it's possible that Noah, as he here is described as a preacher of righteousness, that it is possible, and I believe John Owen thinks so as well, or John Owen thinks so, and therefore I think it's a possibility, that he already was a preacher of righteousness. That he was a preacher, that's what he did, and then the Lord revealed his plans to destroy and to cleanse and also to save. So he was already a preacher of righteousness. But remember, as I was saying, righteousness in God's sight has got nothing to do with moralism, with you being religious in any way. When we see that he was a preacher of righteousness, he wasn't some sort of moralist and some sort of finger-wagging preacher from the pulpit telling you should do this and you shouldn't do that for the sake of what? For the sake of morals? For the sake of bribing God? No, he was a preacher of righteousness, just like John the Baptist was. John the Baptist taught that and preached that we were to turn from our sins, that we would have repentance towards God and turn away from all our sin. Why? Because then God can forgive the sinner. And that obedience is an act of faith. There are other parallels between Noah and John the Baptist, but we will not go into them today. And so, as I said, it's very possible that Noah was already carrying out this ministry of reconciliation where he was before he received that word of God, that he was commanded to build that ark. But it might also be the case that he only started this preaching of repentance and faith when the Lord had commanded him to build the ark. So there he is, he's building the ark. And his friends and the neighbors be walking around wondering what he's doing. First of all, they might think he's building a shed, and then this shed seems to be getting very long and wide and tall. That's not a shed you're building, is it, Noah? Isn't it an apartment block, a condominium? No. You see, people would ask questions. They'd say, what are you doing, Noah? And probably they would ask his wife. Do you know his wife's name? Mrs. Noah. So they'd go to Mrs. Noah, and then they would ask. That was a joke, by the way. They would go to Mrs. Noah and they may ask, what's Noah up to? What is he doing? He's building this building. He says, no, it's building. It's an ark. An ark? A box. A huge wooden chest. Why? There's a flood coming. A flood? How big's this flood? It's going to cover every mountaintop. Why? Because God has seen the wickedness and the violence that's in your heart and in my heart. And he's coming to cleanse. But, and here is the gospel preaching. If you turn away from your sin and enter into the ark, God says that there's salvation. There's salvation for those that would enter in. And so therefore, this act of building the ark was a great opportunity to preach the gospel to the curious. The third possibility, and I think I think that's also the case. I don't think it's necessarily one of the three. I think it might be all three in some ways. But the third possibility is here, as we read in Hebrews 11 and verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. There's a condemnation to the world who rejected the ark, who rejected the way of salvation, who saw it being built, who asked the questions, who maybe heard the preaching of Noah or heard the report of the preaching of Noah. I mean, who knows that in these 50 to 75 years, the people would be visiting this place. You know, there are people these days who would go and see some great wonder, some great natural wonder or some great man-made wonder, and they will travel there and they will go to see it. What about if there's an accident on the motorway, on the highway? What will happen? Well, people tend to slow down and rubberneck, and they're curious, they're interested in what's going on. No doubt people here, although they were not believers, and they did not believe, and they did not turn away from their sin, they saw it, and they heard about it, and they rejected it. They rejected the ark, they rejected God's way of salvation, and therefore, by the which he condemned the world. More of this shortly. So we've seen together the revelation unto faith and the reaction of faith. And we see, thirdly, the reward of faith. Finally, the reward of faith. Hebrews 11 and verse 7, read with me again. By faith Noah, being warned of God, of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. So the reward of faith, what is that there? Well, we see that. Firstly, it's deliverance. Deliverance. He saved his household. You see, Noah was driven by that holy fear of God because he believed the word of God. He believed not just the promises of God, but the threats of God. If God says so, it must be true. And this is how Noah, a believer, understood the word of God. Let God be true and every man a liar, and that includes yourself. And he believed, and therefore he was driven to spend those years, year in and year out, what, building the ark, preaching the gospel, warning people, building the ark, preaching, warning. God's righteous judgment is coming upon you, and this is the way of salvation. And he was driven to save his own household. Why? Because there was the promise of God. God had promised. And God had also revealed that there would only be 8 saved. Because God knows the heart of every man and woman and boy and girl. And every man and woman and boy and girl, or thousands and millions that were on the earth at that time, because violence filled the earth, therefore mankind filled the earth. They all rejected it. They despised it. And it was only Noah who had found grace in God's eyes, and his wife who was in a covenant, marriage covenant with him, and the children that were under this covenant, and their wives who were with their covenant, were saved to deliver his own loved ones. So Noah in no way believed God in theory, but he believed him truly and really. And therefore he toiled to enter into the way that God had prepared for him and for his family. He had a real fear of God's judgment. And therefore he got out of bed early every morning, every workday morning. And he went and started working on that ark in spite of the splinters and the blisters and the bruised thumbs and whatever else he had and the aching bones, the tired muscles and the overstretched sinews. Whatever it was, he got up and he toiled and he worked and he worked. Why? Because he was trying to work his way to salvation. No, he believed the word of God, and God said, this is the way. And this is the way, Noah, that you will save your beloved wife and children and their wives. And so that's that fear of God, that precious believing fear of God, that drove him to build this ark. But this ark, beloved, this ark, as you're listening, is Christ. Amen. This ark is Jesus Christ. And as he was to flee into the ark, because God had given no other way to mankind to be saved, not one other way, so is the only way of salvation that God gives, is the name and the man, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And it is only through the twin ports of repentance and faith that we will enter into Christ. There is one door on this ark to enter in. Jesus said, I am the door. All who will enter in, they will be saved. And so we see by this ark as an image of Christ. Because as the rains and the storm were battering away upon this ark, and all that were in the ark were absolutely safe, so you must be inside Jesus Christ. You must be found within Christ when the wrath of God comes upon all of mankind, comes upon your soul at death, entering into the presence of God. Will God be an all-consuming fire to burn you out and send you to hell? Or will you be found within Jesus Christ, who took all the wrath of God upon that cross? For we see something of the cross work when we consider the wood of the ark. We must remember the wood of the cross. As Jesus Christ is hanging on that cross, he takes the wrath of God, and it goes dark for 3 hours. As the wrath of God and the rejection by God for sin's sake, that he is forsaken of God, that we will be accepted by God. And he's hanging there, abused and shamed. And the wrath of the Father is poured out upon him. The wood of the cross is pointed to by the wood of the ark. And we must have the cross. We must have the Christ of the cross. We must have him, and we must enter in. How do you enter into Jesus Christ? How do you enter into the ark of Jesus Christ? By faith. That's how Noah entered in. By faith. That's how Mrs. Noah entered in, because she believed the preaching of her husband. And the three boys, they believed the preaching of the father. And the wives of the boys, they believed, they also entered in. Nobody forced them in. They went in because they could see this is the only way. Which brings us to our second understanding as we look at the rewards of faith, is the condemnation that's mentioned here in verse 7. So he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. You see, how is condemnation then a reward of faith? It isn't. It's a reward of unbelief. See, both sides were rewarded. One with eternal life and one with eternal death. These eight, they fled to Christ, and they fled and entered into Christ. And the others rejected Christ. Is that what you will do this evening? Will you strive to enter into Christ? Will you believe what the Word of God says? Will you do what the Word of God says? And enter into Christ and be found in him, to be saved by him. And this is the great contrast that we have between Noah, the great example of faith, and the rest of mankind, except for his family, the great example of unbelief. And it is still the case today. It is still the case today that God has given the one way of salvation, and many people reject it. And therefore they will receive the rewards. The rewards for what? For their unbelief. And therefore the rewards for their sin. The rewards for their rebellion. And here is the worst of all, the rewards for their rejection of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore their rejection of Christ. Noah believed. Noah obeyed. Noah feared. And Noah was saved. That's the lesson that we need to learn from Noah. Sinner. In the meeting this evening, sinner online, listen to how Noah was saved. He believed, he feared, he obeyed, he was saved. But the others, they disbelieved, they mocked, they despised, and they rejected, and they were destroyed. And that is the question you must ask yourself. Where do you stand today before God? Are you in the ark? Or are you outside the ark? You might say, well, I'm standing just at the door of the ark. I'm standing just next to the door of the ark. I can see inside, but I haven't gone in. You are lost, and you're ready for destruction. Because it doesn't matter whether you were 1 foot away from the ark or 20 miles away from the ark. You were outside the ark when God's judgment came. You must be in the ark. You must enter into Jesus Christ. What reward do you want? The reward of faith or the reward for unbelief? Remind you again, in the time of Noah, there was one clear way to be saved from the coming wrath of God, and that was the ark. And your only way to escape the wrath of God for your sin and your rebellion and your great and spiritual crime of hate towards God and Christ is through the cross of Christ. Only one. Finally, we see the inheritance. There is an inheritance that's mentioned in our text. And he became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And so Noah by faith, what was he? Noah by faith was a man who knew the forgiveness of God. That's why he was called justified. That's why he was called a just man, a righteous man. He was a believer and a sanctified believer that walked with God, and therefore he pleased God. But all of his obedience and his faith did not save him. Sorry, I should say all his faith and all his obedience in God's promises and warnings were the only things that saved him, not his work. But what the work of building that ark and preaching righteousness to all that would hear, what that did, it showed to the world that here was an heir of righteousness. It was his witness to the world that here is a man that is saved by faith. Here is a man that God's grace has entered into, for he found grace in God's eyes. His obedience declared that he was one of those who would receive the inheritance of Christ. And he became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let me close again with asking you to examine your soul before God. Where do you stand? Are you in the ark, or are you outside the ark? Are you safe for eternity in Jesus, or are you in the dangerous, or are you under the dangerous judgment of God? They are the only two choices that you have. But enter in. If you're found outside the ark of Christ, enter into the ark of Christ. Enter into him. And how do you enter in? I will repeat again. You must turn from your self-righteousness and your rejection of Christ. You must humble yourself and enter into that ark of Christ. And then you too will have that thing that is said here of Noah, that you will become the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. And what are the fruits of that? Well, that is everlasting life. That is peace with God. That is forgiveness of all your sins. That is to be friends with Jesus forever. Would you like to be friends with the Lord Jesus? Would you like to know that God is your heavenly Father? Would you like to know that Christ himself pours out his Spirit into your very heart to sustain you and to keep you and to bring you to him? Then turn to Christ and enter into the ark of Christ. I do pray that the Lord will bless this word, as of insufficient as my abilities are, but it's the word of Christ and the promise of the gospel that you must hear and you must accept, and you must believe. And may that lead to the action on your behalf that you will repent and turn to Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank thee for this great gospel promise that we see in the life of Noah. Lord, we thank thee that there is a way of salvation, and we see this in the ark of Noah, that there is a way of escaping the coming wrath of God and the coming destruction and judgment. For in those days it was the ark of Christ. Lord, we need the cross of Christ. We need the blood of Christ. I do pray, O Lord, it is my prayer, my earnest prayer, and the earnest prayer of many in this room, that thou will take thy word, that thou will apply it to heart, and that thou wilt work faith in the heart of many, that thou will have mercy, O God, for who else will have mercy upon them? No one. And who else can save them, Lord? No one. How will they have forgiveness except through the blood of Christ? And so, God, our God, be pleased to save souls through thy precious word even this evening. and to draw them to call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. Fill the ark of Christ, we pray, even here in Calgary. For Jesus' sake, we call upon thee. Amen.